Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to this week's Know the Scene, your Lake Norman show to talk about what the scene, what's going on around the scene here in our towns. Where are you eating, drinking? Where are you hanging out? All that kind of stuff. It's officially May. It is officially May when you hear this. It is officially, will officially be May. And we had quite the nice April. And if by the time you hear this, if the weather continues anything like it has been just over the last week, it may as well already be June. It may as well already be June. But that's how it is here in Kakalaki. That's how it goes. That's how it goes. So welcome to the May. Lots still going on here. Kane Center for the Arts beginning to wrap up our spring season of 2024, our spring presenting season. We've had a wonderful spring season, wonderful performances of all types. We appreciate everyone that's come out. We're continuing on. We do still have some remaining here in May. May's not over, all right? May's just getting started. So just because I say we're getting towards the end of the performing season does not mean that it's over yet, because it's not. We have some great acts. Today we're going to talk a little bit with Christopher James Leeds from the Charlotte Symphony in just a moment. But in the meantime, make sure you're getting out, you're supporting all your local organizations that are out there doing the great work, going to some of these great festivals that are happening. You know, Tabawak happened back in April 2nd. Fridays are going to start back in downtown Cornelius very soon. Davidson's back on the farmers markets now every Saturday morning. Beautiful over there. Huntersville has a growers market. They're having their Huntersville, Big Huntersville Annual Festival at their Veterans Park. You know, just get out there and get involved and hang out in this beautiful communities that we live in, and support all the wonderful things that are happening both outside and in the arts as well. So speaking of that, we are going to transition to our guest today. Joining us again, second time guest. Not many of those.
Wow.
Yes, from the Charlotte Symphony, conductor of the Charlotte Symphony, Christopher James Leeds. Welcome to the show. Welcome back.
Thank you so much. It's such an honor to be back amongst the table, back with
yes,
you.
Yes, back in the circular table.
Yeah, this is so great. It's always a joy to be up in Cornelius, especially in anticipation of great afternoon of music that we got coming up on the 19th.
And yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm fired up. It's good to see you again.
Yes, yes. Thanks for joining us. And Christopher and I were talking just before we started the show. You just completed quite the feat.
Yeah,
with
my feet. Yeah, feet, legs, heart,
all of
lungs,
it.
the whole bit.
Spirit.
Yeah,
will.
Mantras, right. To keep
tenacity,
you going.
Like mental state.
Mental tenacity is what it's all about,
yeah.
Especially because it was a hot day, and there were almost 1,000 people that didn't finish. We're talking about the Boston Marathon. I ran the Boston Marathon on tax day, April 15.
Yes.
From Hopkinton to Boston, Massachusetts, and. Yeah, there were a field of 25,000 runners and almost 1,000 didn't finish.
Wow.
Because it was so hot and it was blistering and people were falling left, right, and center.
Now, what is that hot? What was that temperature?
Well, it was 73 degrees outdoors. So they said it was great for the spectators and terrible for the runners.
Was it sunny too? So it's like beating?
Yeah, the very little shade cover along the route, and the hills were brutal as they always are. Hills haven't changed in 128
yes,
years, but the weather changes.
Hot day, cold day, hills are hills.
Yeah, exactly. But it was just, you know, they say that you have to add 10 degrees to the personal temperature of each runner once it gets past, I think, like 55. So those of us who were running, like 20 degrees warmer.
Interesting.
Than if you were just standing there enjoying the sunshine, having a great day, cheering on.
How interesting.
You know, encouraging everybody. But yeah, it was 26 miles of heat.
Ooh.
But we managed to make it through.
Well, good thing you are used to warm weather being in the South.
We are fortunate. And in Charlotte, too, because there are hills.
Yes, there are. There are. Boy, there are some hills around here.
Mm-hmm. It was a great place to train.
That is. What's the, when I used to run cross country, when I was growing up, we went to the park in Charlotte, McAlpine
Park, yeah.
Yes, there was a cross country course we ran there. It had an awful hill.
Yes.
There's like a monster hill.
It's still there. It hasn't changed either.
I was hoping they got rid of that. I was hoping that was like the bane of our existence as runners. I remember they used to tell us, like, you're going to feel like that hill's never going to end. And it's not. But then you'll start going down and it'll feel a little bit better.
Yeah, they haven't bulldozed it yet. They haven't raised it. Now they just bring more and more runners from high schools across the state to run it.
At this point, come on, like, we're old enough. Like, someone should have grown up and become in charge of something. That would be like, no, that hill made me so mad when I was in high school.
So at mile 21 in Boston, it's what we call Heartbreak Hill.
Ooh.
And or mile 20, I think, and it's the last of the four hills in Newton, Mass. And it's steep and it's long and it's brutal. And you get to the top and they say, congratulations, you have overcome heartbreak. I think the only thing to make that hill at McAlpine make sense is if you give it a cool name that every time you like conquer
you can at least
it,
feel good about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you're like, I took down this piece of land.
Man.
You know?
So, like, tell
an
me
epic
more.
Name, title.
Because you said you didn't, you said you ran a little bit, like in high school, I guess.
Yep.
And then, you know, you said you did some things, but not until 2021 did you really get serious about, was that your goal? Were you like, in 2021, you're like, I want to run the Boston Marathon and I'm going to train to do it.
No, I tell you, Justin, it was mostly COVID, right? We all coped in different ways. And so I coped by running at the nature preserve near my house, and that was a great stress relief and, you know, all the things that exercise does.
Yep.
And so then I ran a 5K for the first time since high school in July of 2021. July was not a wise choice
month July, to do it. Yeah. Ooh.
But then it went well and it was faster than I expected. And I said, okay, well, I did 5K. Let's try 10. And so I ran around the crown where they shut down 277 and
yes.
You run on the highway.
Wow.
And that was faster than I expected. And so I was like, oh, maybe I've got some aptitude for this. And so by March.
You literally did couch to
yeah,
half.
Okay. Basically.
10K. Couch to 10K.
Couch to 10K. And then I ran a half marathon in March 2022. And that went well.
I don't think this is normal.
I think it's slightly masochistic. I don't know. I just got lucky, I guess.
Like so and in that time, like you're so you just bought in and just committed. Mentally and physically, time, everything. You just committed. You said you were getting up at 5 a.m. hitting the road.
Once I started training for marathons, that was the only time that was open. That
right,
was the only
right.
time that was available. Which when you have a concert and you don't get home until 11:30 at night, it definitely cuts down the amount of sleep you're getting. But there's nothing more satisfying. Like I get back from the Boston Marathon and like runners from all over the world are there. They're speaking languages from all over. Some of them have tried for 6, 7, 8, 9 years to get there.
Wow.
And you just feel like it's such a privilege. And you know that, you know, there's 1% of people in the world that has ever completed a marathon.
Wow.
And then 2 to 3% of that 1% run qualify for the Boston Marathon. And you feel like, man, I have to do this. And then you feel unstoppable when you're done.
Wow.
So
wow.
It's a gift.
I haven't done any long-term running since high school. But like at this point, I've always like, when you're running this long, like, I mean, are you feeding? So I used to do a little bit of cycling.
Mm.
And I knew that, you know, when you're doing a 30 miler, like 50 mile, any, you know, you gotta eat, you gotta feed at some point. Are you doing that during the race too?
Absolutely. You've got fuel, you've got electrolytes,
to.
You've got gels, little gummies.
Yeah, like, I remember the gummies when I biked. That was crucial.
Yeah. And on a hot day, you know, like it was in Boston, you end up throwing the water cups over your head so you keep your temperature down, you keep your body fueled, try to keep your salt up on the hot days, and it's a whole chemical formula.
Yeah.
But it's unbelievable. Like, it's so much fun.
Wow. Interesting. All right. Well, we've just spent the whole first segment just talking about the
running.
Boston Marathon, but that's important, and that's good, because it shows that no matter what you work in, you should always do different things.
Yeah.
Right? Try different things, too. So, all right, we'll be right back after the break. Know the scene. And we're back. Know the scene. This little lick that he has like reminds me of like Lit a little bit.
Yeah.
And like, so cool story. The last time we had Christopher here, we were, I was getting ready to go to the AIBA conference. You were reminding me.
Mm-hmm.
And at this AIBA conference, they shoot, you know, they do showcases and you see the bands. And one of the bands was Lit.
Oh,
yeah, it was great. And Shaggy. Shaggy was one too. And that was kind of a little bit of a guilty pleasure.
Wow. That's like, that's a blast from the past.
Yeah, like middle school me and like was like all over it. It was so funny because like all of us are like professionals where there is like professionals representing like art, performing arts organizations, like, you know, like agencies, like blah, 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 blah. And Shaggy shows up and it's like all people like our age just at the front. like just like going crazy. It was way too much fun. But
did
was,
you say, look, you're Shaggy? And he was like, wasn't
it was me.
Me.
It wasn't me. Oh, he did all of them.
Yeah.
He did all of them.
All the hits.
Yeah. It was a thing. And I was like, man, nice. I wish we could get him to come. Mm. Let's talk Charlotte Symphony.
Yeah. We're a lot closer than where Shaggy lives. That's
you
for sure.
are. You are. But no less exciting.
No, we're thrilling, especially the program we're bringing on May 19th.
Yes, tell me about that.
It's gonna have as many fireworks as you can set off inside the building without having the sprinklers go off.
All right, I like that.
It's gonna be so exciting, and lots of recognizable melodies that people will immediately be able to identify and resonate with, and it'll be breathtaking beauty and debaucherous, like salacious dancing, and then like terrifying. Like creatures coming out at the audience, and then beautiful homegrown Americana. We've got a little bit of something for everybody.
Nice. I'm excited for that. So it's going to be a different program than the one in the fall. So if you came to the one in the fall, know that this is going to be a completely different program in a great way. Tell me the thought approach to like maybe building this spring's program versus maybe the fall's program, because the fall was more movie magic type stuff.
Yeah, we really focused on movie music because that's a space in popular culture where everybody recognizes the sound of an orchestra. It's one of those few pop genres where the orchestra sounds like itself. Mm-hmm. It's not trying to play backup band to Pink Floyd or Litz or anyone else.
Right.
You know, it is its thing, and there's so many great stories, as we heard.
Yeah, it was a great, great concert.
Yeah. So this is a little bit more closer to the center of the Tootsie Pop. It's closer to the center of what classical music and sort of popular classical music has. So it's like Ride of the Valkyries from Wagner. And, you know, fans of Bugs Bunny will recognize, you know,
Kill the Wabbit.
It's the same tune, you know. And then we'll also have the Foray Pavane, which is this moment of gorgeous, ethereal, plaintive beauty that everyone will take a deep, deep exhalation through. And it'll be a moment of tranquility and calm and for reflection. And then we'll play the Danse Bacchanale, which is, as it sounds, it's kind of a giant salacious party from an opera, Samson and Delilah, that Camille Saint-Saëns wrote. And it's saucy and it's sort of voluptuous in moments.
And then it heats up.
And yeah, it's not suitable for children, but we're playing it anyway. So it's just this great piece of music, and it's just...
Watch that be the one my daughter likes the most.
Maybe.
My five-year-old. She loved it, dude. She loved the last show.
Well, we gave her a shout-out at the last
one. I know you did, and she like... She took that seriously.
Nice.
Like she took the assignment. She had a great time.
Awesome. Well, and we know people are going to have a great time with this one. You know, we're going to have our assistant concert master, Carrie Giles, step up and play a solo.
Awesome.
We didn't do any solos the last time.
Yeah.
And she's playing this phenomenal movement from a great concerto written by a young African-American woman that's just so soulful and so personal and so real and so authentic, and just having that moment, I think is going to be really special. And then we've got another piece by Quinn Mason called Inspiration Festive Overture to start the second half. And that makes the whole room feel like it's elevating into the stratosphere.
Oh, I love
that. It just takes flight in energy and optimism. And if there's anything we could use in the world right now, it's a little bit, you know, we can have 7 minutes of energy and optimism.
That's right.
You know, so it's just this great potpourri of stuff. And I hope that by now, like, people can trust that when the Charlotte Symphony comes and we present a program, we'll tell you exactly what you're going to hear.
Yeah.
You'll have the experience. And in the Kane Center, there's no bad seat in the house. So get to be up close and personal and in the midst of the music.
Yeah, I remember last year in May, I missed that performance, but I made sure that I was in town for this fall. And it was phenomenal. I mean, I knew it would, you know, everyone told me May went well and it sounded great. You told me, not that I didn't believe you guys, but you know, being there is a whole other experience, and the sound and the energy in the room from the full symphony and the selections of songs this fall and then this spring too in May, you know, is going to be fantastic as well. Let me ask, because I know you guys are kind of moving into the, like, your own kind of festival season in a way.
Yeah.
Right? So I just got back, by the way, from Merlefest. I did the whole 4 days at Merlefest last weekend. It was great.
Nice.
So, and like, I learned while I was there that Merlefest is considered like one of the festivals that kicks off festival season.
Oh,
because it happens kind of early,
yeah,
I guess, in festival season world. Because a lot of artists were like, man, this is always one of the first ones, and it's always great to see people as we kick off festival season. And I'm like, well, you guys are kind of moving into that, because you'll have us, and then you start doing all your like park
yeah.
concerts, like in at Bailey Road Park and mm-hmm. over here at the at Duke Energy. Mm-hmm. And you go to other, I mean, you go all over.
We're very busy and we're very mobile. And this year, know, yeah, more than ever.
I know. I was going to tee that up.
More
a little
news
bit.
To
yeah.
come. That's right. Yeah. In June, we head all over the community. And this year, it's going to be special and it's different. We just, at the time that we're taping this, we just yesterday had our first launch of our newly commissioned mobile stage.
Yeah.
And if you've seen pictures of this thing, it's even more beautiful in person.
Yeah, I'm excited images. To see it. I mean, I saw a picture from afar, so I couldn't quite get the full scale. But like how, I mean, does it fit the full symphony on it?
Yeah, it's, well, we can get about 40 players on.
That's huge.
Yeah. And we've got the sound system. So everything's amplified. You can hear everything. They project it out to the back of the lawn. We can set it up in 90 minutes and have a concert, you know, within an hour and a half.
Wow.
Going. And what we love about it is that we can take it places and then those places become a place that people experience a live musical yep. event.
Yes.
Like it's so, it's. I think it's unique and beautiful that Cornelius has the Kane Center,
yeah.
that there is a building, there is a spot
yeah.
for great live music. Yeah. And so for the places that aren't Cornelius.
Of course, no, of course.
We have this incredible trailer and
dude,
you know,
Matthews, Pineville, you yeah. know, Raquel, like, I mean,
you can
name
take it.
It
anywhere.
You guys go state.
Yeah, that's right.
All over.
That's right. And what we're doing right now, our first 10 programs are lined up with the city of Charlotte. We're working within their corridors of opportunity,
love
places
that.
In Charlotte where yep. they've evaluated and said, these are areas of Charlotte that have gotten less investment
right.
over the last 20, 30, 50 years.
Right.
And so where are we going to invest now? We're going to invest in culture. We're going to invest in performances. Yeah. We're going to invest in the people. And we're going to have music be one of the centerpieces of that.
I love that.
And so we performed at the Latin American Coalition yesterday. And nice. We played music from Latin composers from Peru to Mexico to Spain and Brazil. And it was just an incredible community event.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So you guys are like, you said how many again? How many shows?
We're doing 10 between, we're doing 4 this summer, between now and the end of June as part of our summer season. And then we'll do another 6 in the fall between September and November.
Wow. So between now and November 10.
Yeah.
Did I hear that correctly? 10.
Roughly. Yeah.
And that's just on your mobile stage?
That's just on the mobile stage. Yeah. That doesn't include,
it doesn't include
South Park. It doesn't include the Jaws that we're presenting mid-June down at the Belk. It doesn't include... the
and
Harry
somehow
Potter, the
you
breweries.
Find time to run marathons.
Well, I do. Yep.
Good time. Hey, good thing you had all that heat training. Now
yeah,
I know
exactly.
where you get your heat training.
It's from the
doing
stage.
All these outdoor concerts. It's going to be.
That's right. North Carolina's great for it.
I know, man. Wow. Well, congrats. Like, that's so exciting.
I mean, you know, I mean, you're in the business. We stay really busy for the benefit of the community. And,
well, yeah.
And we put the rest of our lives in the nooks and crannies and the creases yeah. and in the in-between spaces.
Yeah.
And we create these moments that are unforgettable, and thank God that we're able to help provide that for people.
Right. Well, and I think, you know, and I think that, you know, you and I probably share the trait of we're kind of, I want to say it's the right way. It's not that we don't take care of what we have, but we're also like, what's next?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not that, and that's not to mean that we don't, you know, make sure that what we have here is secure and cultivated like it needs to be. And mm-hmm. steward it. But then it's like, okay, so now what? So now what? How can we go to the next thing and what's the next strategy and what's the next? So that's awesome, dude.
Well,
and
that shows you're a visionary.
Oh,
if you're,
right.
If
yes,
you're looking down the way, you know, but
it's not now, it's the 5 years from now. I'm always like, but where are we going 5 years from now?
That's right. Well, it's like any relationship, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's no ending point where you're like, okay, we're done.
Right.
We don't have to grow. We don't have to try something new. We don't have to have a new experience.
Exactly.
You know, the arts have been reflective of life since they started so many hundreds of years ago.
Yeah.
And so we're just continuing that tradition and being in the driver's seat to help other people have continuously interesting and ever evolving musical experiences.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, and you hope that, I mean, I'm sure obviously like the hope is that by spreading the art and the symphonic, you know, sounds into these communities that have not had a chance to really be exposed to them as much, that you're creating, you know, you're sparking that next artist, you're sparking that next conductor, you're sparking that next musician, right?
That's right.
That plays. And 20 years from now, there's a kid who's the principal violinist at the Charlotte Symphony who saw on a stage in East Charlotte, you know, or West Charlotte, a performance on the mobile stage.
That's,
you know,
exactly, like,
that's
right.
Exactly what you want to have happen, right?
That's exactly right. Yesterday, we had little kids from the Charlotte Bilingual Preschool. We got a education program there. They're playing little macaroni boxes
that's
to get
awesome.
Themselves ready. And then we had Project Harmony kids who don't have access to instruments any other way, playing their first ensemble performance.
Wow.
Like, we're allowing avenues for people to find agency in themselves as they develop.
That's amazing. All right, we're going to take another quick break. We'll be back. More Know the Scene. Coming right back. All right, Know the Scene. Welcome back. Welcome back. Justin Dion here with special guest Christopher James Lees, conductor, resident conductor of the Charlotte Symphony, marathon runner, general BA. Can't say the full thing on air. Family-friendly show.
Family-friendly.
I could say it, and Bill could just, because since we are recording, Bill could just beep it out later, technically speaking.
But
I don't want to make him have to do too much work. He's like, please don't.
Your show's got such a sterling reputation, too. I wouldn't want you to sully it on my account.
with the symphony show. Yeah. Little did we know, it was the symphony show where things went off the rails.
It was fine until the Charlotte Symphony showed up.
I know. It started getting very salacious.
That's right.
That's when it went wild. All right. Well, we're hanging out today talking all things. So we just kind of talked about the new Charlotte Symphony's mobile stage, which, again, super impressed with the project in general. But also excited to see you guys just execute on that. I think that'll be awesome. So along with that, then, you said you've got your summer kind of series, right? And that is, tell me, I mean, is that where, does that include the, like, the 4th of July concerts and things like that?
Yeah, we love June because that's when we do end up in all of the neighboring towns and cities. So, like, Bailey Park, I think last year we had, like, 14,000 people.
Yeah, it's always
the weather was perfect.
Yeah.
And I think the rain had been most of the week, so they were even more
ready
to, like, be out there. And that is such a fun time for us every single year. Going out to the nuclear station, McGuire Nuclear Station out in Huntersville.
It's cool. It's a very unique show.
It's the only chance that I ever get to conduct for boaters.
Yeah.
And this is one of my favorite parts of being on the microphone, calling out to the boaters and hearing their honks and response.
I went on a friend's boat one year just to see you guys. And I have a friend who lives in Florida, but he and his wife have a home up here as well, a condo, and they are trying to time it out right. They're like, they keep waiting to like a year ago, they missed it. So all year this year, they were like, I need you to let us know when it is. When is it? They're like, dude, just watch their website. So he's super excited to finally get to see it himself too.
Nice. It's going to be such a good time. It always is. And those programs are always super fun.
Yeah. So then you're doing you do your Ballantine shows down, or stop, right? That's down at Ballantine?
We do Ballantine, Pineville, Matthews. We've got a show up in Kannapolis. I'm sure I'm missing one. And then, of course, our residency at South Park. That's our summer home is Symphony Park at South Park.
Okay. I need to come down and see that.
Oh man, it is such a blast.
Yeah.
We get, several thousand people on the lawn. Symphony performs over a moat, which is unique. It's the only place I've ever performed on water.
Wait, over a moat, like dragon, like a castle moat? That kind of moat?
Yeah, that's what it looks like. There are two, they're not drawbridges, but they look like them on either side, connecting the land to the sea. And it's this floating platform. And
wait, you guys are floating?
There are pylons. We are definitely
okay,
not
okay,
like,
okay. I was like,
there are just, union rules against
I was
that.
We can't. Say, I was like, that's like, are they allowed to do that?
No.
The insurance guy in me is like, whoa.
But it is really funny to have wooden instruments above a body of water while you're trying to play in tune. Because the wood is warping in real time.
Right.
It's where the symphony has played for years and years and years. And people come and they bring their Chardonnays, they bring their picnic baskets.
Oh.
And because the lawn is sloped up
works
to
perfect.
The parking lot, there's not a bad seat. And we're doing Latin night, we're doing another movie night, we're doing a Juneteenth performance. And then we've got our Celebrate America program.
Goodness.
For the four Sundays in
July. So you guys are it's almost like you're busier during the summer than you are during your regular year.
I'm afraid we're this busy all year round.
I know you guys do a lot, don't get me wrong, but if my mind is putting together all the dates in this, what is kind of a short amount of time. Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Like, I do most of the community concerts and the neighborhood concerts and the summer parks concerts, and I do almost 70 concerts a year with the Charlotte Symphony.
Yeah.
So we reach tens, maybe hundreds of thousands of Charlotte regional residents in all of these performances. And it's our service to the community because we believe in what we do. We believe in its power to affect the quality of life for folks.
Yes.
And so we are committed to continue to play day in and day out, you know, from September to June.
So let me ask, so how do you balance out, and I'm going to ask us an uninformed question, okay? As resident conductor, is one of your responsibilities, I'm assuming, you know, curating the show?
Yeah.
Right? Okay, that's one of the main responsibilities. Yes, programming the show, right? Yeah. So let me ask from a, almost like from a strategic standpoint, right? When you have this many shows, I mean, surely you are not doing like every show is 100% different. I mean, you can't, like that's crazy to think that. Like, so how do you approach, you know, like the mixing and the, and how do you approach that?
Oh, it's a fantastic matrix that, you know, that's a sort of a dissertation length answer.
I'll see if I can condense it. We got some time.
So, you know, the variables all work in relationship to each other. It's like the theory of relativity. You change one thing and that changes the other things. So you've got concert length, you've got location, you've got, has this audience heard this piece before?
Right.
So like when we come up to Cornelius, we look at the program from last May, we look at the program from October, and we say, okay, what haven't we played for them that would be unique and interesting and can tie together?
Yes.
So that's the first consideration, is the audience.
Of course.
Then the second consideration are our musicians, because they play so many programs.
Right.
It would be unfair to them if each of our 70 concerts had a totally different roster.
Exactly.
So we look at where the overlap is, how much rehearsal time we have, the difficulty of the pieces, try to throw in things that are familiar. The Charlotte Symphony in their main stage programs plays a full concert length, you know, 2.5 hours with an intermission, soloists, chorus, full regalia.
Yeah.
And so in order to do another program that same week on one rehearsal, we have to be able to put together a program that the musicians can do comfortably on one rehearsal so that everybody has a great experience. And that just takes a wide knowledge of repertoire, knowing how much time you need, and then making sure that by the time you get to the stage that it's really good. So people have a high caliber experience with an art form that could very easily fall to the side if those considerations weren't taken into account.
And how often do you, so I appreciate that. Thank you for that answer. I mean, and that all makes a lot of sense. And how often do you have, for lack of a better phrase, I don't know if this isn't the right way to say it, but fill-ins.
Oh, like substitute musicians.
Subs, that's it.
Yeah. Well, you know, every orchestra is a little bit different. We have 62 full-time musicians. And in the month of May, we are both, right before we come to the Kane Center, the two weekends prior, we're playing Swan Lake for the Charlotte Ballet.
That's right. I forgot about you guys doing that too. Gosh.
And simultaneously, we're also playing a new immersive experience, which is combining EDM music and symphonic music at the Black Box Theater. And we're also doing these road shows. It's at Black Box Theater in Noda.
I didn't even know there was a Black Box Theater in Noda. How did I miss this?
Yeah, it's not a black box like the way we understand black box theaters. It's called The Black Box.
Oh, okay.
And it's an EDM specialized, it's like a house trance club.
Interesting.
And the CSO, our shows there May 10 and 11, that's going to be a hybrid of minimalism from a string orchestra, everything from ambient sound to high octane, groovy, highly rhythmic and motoric music. And then in between, we're working with a producer and a visual artist out of Asheville, North Carolina, to create a sort of, we're calling it merge, where these two genres come together. And so we're doing all of this simultaneously. So we do need subs occasionally, but partially because we got a lot going on.
Yeah, you got to. Wow. That's so cool.
Yeah. It's amazing diversity of programming and amazing.
And you're curating all these.
Yeah.
Like even the EDM show?
I'm curating that.
Wow.
With Liam Collins, DJ Pushpull, Pushpull Sound, and Tenorless, who's the visual artist. We're working with the communities where we perform on the mobile stage to make programs that are specific to those communities. working with Kane Center and other folks to make sure that everywhere
we're easy,
go, it's special.
Like, you know, we're hopefully we're an easy one.
Well, the Kane Center's friends. Like, we already know each other. It's like, you're familiar with us. We're familiar with you. Like, that's just coming back for another family dinner.
I think, and I think I'm interested. Well, I tell you what, we're going to need to take a break.
Okay.
And we're going to continue this part, but because we're going to run out of time before we get too far into this. But all right, we're going to take a break and come back with more Christopher James Lee's right after the break. Know the scene. Welcome back. Know the scene with our special guest today, resident conductor Christopher James Lee from the Charlotte Symphony. Always a pleasure.
It's such a joy to come
always
up here,
a pleasure to chat with you. We still need to get that beer one day.
Yeah, we're one waiting day. For it. Maybe after Bailey Park.
There you go. Maybe after Bailey Park. That would be great. We should do that. So we were discussing during the quick break that the Charlotte, I was telling Christopher that I see all of your stuff. I'm on social media or here or there, and I see the ads for things. But it's different when you see them like one at a time, and then to hear you place them all out, my head, of course, being like, in my role, I start filling up a calendar. Like visually, I see my Outlook calendar going, and I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Dude, like, and Chris was like, and I was like, so do you have to contract more musicians? And he's like, no, they just can't be two places at the same time, but we're working on that. Like, okay, good, yeah, all right,
The next frontier in human efficiency.
Yes.
And the reason I bring that up is because I want first dibs at it. I want first dibs at being able to be in two places simultaneously.
Yes, oh gosh. I don't know if I'd want the stress of it. I mean, it'd be cool, but like, does that mean double the responsibility and double the stress at the same time?
Do you think it's like the principle that the work fills up the time, so if you can be in two places at once, you have quadrupled the amount of work?
You know what they say? Well, you know, it's almost like they say, I don't know if you've ever heard like your parents or, you know, someone that, you know, you've ever talked with, you know, man, I'd love to be earning a little bit more money or something. And they go, you know, the only thing like, you know, more money just, it doesn't, you know, you just end up getting more stuff and it just makes it more complicated. And you're like, whatever, you don't know. And I'm like, is it that way with this? If we doubled ourselves, like, oh, that's more responsibility.
I like to look at it as more impact.
You there you go. Sure. Fair enough.
More folks. And like, I would always have one person on the podium and one version of me back home with my son.
There you go.
Fully present parent, fully present professional.
There you go.
Or, you know, gig in Charlotte and then gig in London at the same time.
There like, you go. Yeah. Cause you're doing that. Yes, when's your next like out of town thing?
Ah, oh, that's a great question. When is my next out-of-town thing? I've been doing some recording sessions in Nashville, actually, for a composer out of Orlando.
Right.
That's been a really great
Nashville's
partnership.
Such a fun town, man.
It's a really
Isn't
fun
it?
Town.
It's
very
so much
cool.
Fun. Yeah.
It's very cool.
Lots of good food.
Yeah, yeah.
Lots of good food in Nashville.
Yeah, this season I spent a lot of time in Houston. Next season I'm going to Fort Worth and Knoxville. And I can't remember where else I'm going. And I still have, you know, I run an orchestra in Rock Hill, South Carolina.
Yeah.
So that also fills up some of the time.
Now, are you aware of the new art center they're building in Rock Hill?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you been in conversation with them?
Yeah. We're working closely with them.
Good. Yeah. Todd's a good guy.
He's a great guy.
Yeah. They've studied. So they're kind of almost, I don't.
Modeling
like,
it?
Well, they're almost like a sister center in a way. I mean, they're not, but it's almost that way. Cause yeah, they were like, even before they hired Todd, like they came up and visited us. And we were under construction and so it's been really neat to see like them continue that.
Yeah. You could learn a lot by looking at Cornelius real closely. Well, cause it's a remarkable, remarkable scene.
Oh, well, thanks. We're working on it. And hey, we learned a lot by looking at other places. You know what I mean? That's just how, that's the process. That's the artistic process, right?
Yeah.
Just looking, you know, listen to others, see how you can be inspired by what they've done, you know, pick the things that work for you, avoid the things that maybe don't seem to work for you. And just go from there, you know, but that's awesome to hear that you're already like working with them down there. Cause I think they've got a great vision too.
They do. Yeah. There's a lot of great energy there and we just need a few more financial things to line up.
Yep.
And then as don't always, but yeah, exactly. There's never a point where that gets easy. So,
you got to have resources to keep big ideas going.
That's right.
You know, you can't make big change, can't make big impact without big resources.
That's right. That's why, again, it's so amazing what you've done here. Cause you have community buy-in, you've made made the Kane Center a sort of living room for Cornelius.
Yeah.
So everybody comes in, and if they're kids or grown-ups, or they're coming to have a beer, or they're coming to have lemonade, they're going to have a good time.
That's the goal. That's what we've actually started on for all of our family shows. We started coming up with a signature kid drink.
Nice.
Yeah. It's like it's a solid story. I mean, the kids love it. I just think I use my own, of course, like my own like daughter and like our own circumstances. Yeah. I'm like, anytime we go to some event somewhere or like, you know, Disney on Ice or blah, 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 or whatever it is, you know, you always end up getting the thing.
Yeah.
Like the thing. What is the thing, right? The thing, you know, it's the Elsa wand or it's the signature cup or it's the this. And it's like, we don't need another one of these. But then the kid is like, oh, I really want, you know, you can't, like, you say you're not gonna.
Yep.
But then you do.
But you
and
remember
so I
being...
was like, so I was like, we just need a thing.
Yeah.
For every kid's show.
So did you do the wand for Frozen Junior?
No, we haven't
what
gotten
did you do
it
for Frozen Junior.
We came up with an Elsa, like a kid's Elsa drink.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
Snowball?
I think it was called like a, I don't remember what it was called, like a frozen cocktail or something. Not cocktail, sorry. something. I don't remember. The Ice Princess or something. And it was like, you know, Gatorade and some Sprite and like this like edible glitter.
Ooh.
Right.
Okay.
So like, you know, and dude, it was like one of the Frozen performances and Davidson Community Players, you know, did it. Great performance.
Yeah.
One of the performances was like early in the morning and like we, all the moms bought out all the Prosecco. And all the kids had all the Elsa drinks.
And everybody left
and
with a blue tongue.
I know. And it was great.
And I was like,
great, this is cool. Good for you guys. Like, it's a winner. So we were talking about, right before the break, I was going to say, so like one of the things I'm hoping that we can continue as we, you know, continue, as Kane Center continues along and as we continue to grow the relationship with the symphony is to figure out like what is the story? Like, what audiences are we building here? You know, like, how do we like, I mean, you know, how do we go deeper down, you know, down the rabbit hole of audiences and this music and this art in this community? And I don't know what it is yet.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But like, I'm excited about where it could go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So do you have a vision for where you want it to go?
I don't yet because I need you for that vision. So this is one of the reasons why we have to go get beer too.
Yeah.
But because I don't know enough about, look, one thing about me, man, is I don't know a lot about a lot. But I'll tell you when I don't. And when I don't, I go find someone who does.
Nice.
So that, like, I'm like, I don't know a lot about this thing, but I know someone who does.
Yeah.
So like, you're the genius here. Like, how do we, you know what I mean? And that's my, I always see myself as like the temperature taker of the audiences of our community. You know, I'm out in the community, I'm listening to people, I'm talking to people, I'm trying to, you know, this, and then, you know, and then how do I work with the vision of the artist? Well, it depends. Look, if I bring in a one-off road show is one-off road show. That's what it is.
Yeah. You know what you're going to get.
Right. But for people like you guys who we could have multiple times, obviously, and we could continue to have multiple times, that's a different story.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, there's a journey somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like that could be had. And so it's like, what does that look like? Is it combined, you know, maybe it's not always full symphony. Maybe it's chamber. Maybe it's, I don't know, right? So I'm excited to continue to see where that goes.
Well, we could go, I mean, you know Cornelius, and I know classical music.
I'm still learning the audiences, I know,
so
yes.
Between the two of us, one of the reasons I became a conductor is that the rabbit hole goes forever. There is no end to the different ways that we could present great music to the people up here. And how that looks and how deep it goes, whether or not we could focus on just one piece. And we could just play one piece
like
here's what was going on at the time. Here's one way to listen to it. Listen to this excerpt and this excerpt. Now hear it in context.
Yeah.
We could do like a learning performance, like an informance.
That's cool.
Because the programs we've done so far have been very much like...
Introductory,
yeah.
Which is what I want,
a smorgasbord.
Now. Yeah, which
lots
we wanted
of different
to see.
Flavors. Yeah. But in terms of evolving and deepening, I mean, there's as many different... ways you could do that as there are notes on the violin.
Yes. And I'm looking forward to that. I'm having some conversations with, I think, your team coming up.
Great.
In the next week or two about next year. And so like, I wanted to plant that seed.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Ideas, you know, cause I like the idea of where we've been so far. I think that was the right first dip into the, into the wave pool.
Yeah.
You know,
it's so fun.
And now, like, where do we kind of go from there, and what options are there, and how does it fit y'all's mission?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Too, like, that's always an important thing for me too, is like, I want it to be something that the performer and the artist that comes is excited about too, because this is something that's like different or they don't get to do all the time or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I think for us, like, our mission in this region is to become not only like an artistic leader, but also to be a connector and to just like connect with as many people as we can. And we can do that. You know, it's like a good chef. You could do that with fruits and vegetables. You can do that with solid proteins. You can do it with starches. We can do it with Bach and Beethoven and Mozart or EDM or Philip Glass, Steve Reich, John Adams. Like,
we
could do John Williams. Like, we have so many tools at our disposal to make a great experience for people as many times a year as we are on stage.
Yeah. All right. I'm excited. So tell me, we have just like a minute and a half left. What are some of the top three things you're excited about with Charlotte Symphony right now?
Oh my gosh. Well, certainly the mobile stage. Second, I think, is our endowment campaign. We just announced we've raised more than $41 million.
I read that. Congratulations. Yeah. That was like, whoa.
Yeah. We've been in the works for a couple of years and we're on our way to 50, and that's going to provide some stability for orchestra we've been looking for decades. I'm not sure this orchestra's ever had it.
Yeah.
And then third is our new music director, Kwame Ryan, who is an incredible artist, soul person, musician, communicator, educator. He is articulate and brilliant, and he has incredible chemistry with the orchestra.
Nice.
And so when he starts coming regularly, he was so far booked because he's in such demand globally that we'll only see him a few weeks next year, but then the year after we'll see him for more and more.
Wow.
But having him come to Charlotte is going to change the name of the game
for
the Charlotte Symphony and how we relate to our city.
Wow.
So having him
is that's exciting.
Yeah. There's no shortage of excitement at the CSO
now. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming again today, Mr. Christopher. We always appreciate you coming in, man. Always
such
great chatting with you. We're excited to see you in May, coming up this month. Everyone get those tickets, canearts.org. We're about 3/4 of the way full right now, so get those tickets because I anticipate it's going to get full on that Sunday afternoon. So thanks again, and we will see you soon. Everybody have a great week.